He was talking about who's the best, who's the best looking, and I told some lady back there a minute ago, she said, I think it's this lady over here, she introduced herself to me, and I said, are you saved and ready for heaven? She said, I sure am. I said, well, just get used to looking at this beautiful body because you're going to spend eternity with it. So, thank you. Thank you for allowing us to be here. I don't take this time lightly. I take it very serious for a pastor to give up his time preaching. To me, that's a very serious thing. And, brother, I appreciate you allowing us to be here. And just like he said, he is Pastor Hahn's backup. And I've heard Pastor Dean say many times, the Bible study is one of his most important things in life. For him to honor a man like this, that's a big deal. So I'm thankful for him. But anyway, I'll tell you a little bit about me, and then we'll get started. And then I've got a short message I want to preach. But God saved me in 1980. My wife prayed for me for 14 years before God saved me. And believe me, I committed every kind of sin that could be thought of. I'm not proud of that. But I'm telling you, if you're here and you've got a loved one or a family member, you think they've gone too far? No, they hadn't. No, they hadn't. Because I promise you, they hadn't done anything that I'd done 100 times. And I'm not proud of that. But I'm telling you, God can. And he did. I've had about 5 people to come up to me this morning. One of them, she looked like she was in shock. She said, are you the David Stepp that went to East High School? And I thought, oh, no. And anyway, there's people in here that this morning that's known me before I got saved. One lady, I drove a truck with her husband, and a good man. But anyway, we drove a truck for 40 years. And a lot of that time was for Randall Price, best man I ever worked for in my life. He gave me many breaks, many, many breaks. And I'm thankful for that because it was a lesson. Time went on. God saved me in 1980. My wife stayed faithful. She raised my kids in church. And by her raising my kids in church, I had a son that died in 1991. It was 17 years old. By her staying faithful and living with Satan, my son's in heaven now. Because he was saved under her faithfulness of taking him to church, teaching him about Jesus. He received Jesus at a young age, and there's no doubt in my mind that he's in heaven right now with the Lord. So I'm thankful for that. I'm not here to uplift anybody's name but the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to understand that. I'm just giving you a little of my background. But God saved me in 1980, in and out of church, in and out of church, in and out of church. And my son died in 91. And for some reason, brother, I feel like I wasn't going to do this, but I feel led to do what I'm about to do. I got out of church, got involved back in the world after my son died, and I'm not blaming that on him. I'm not blaming God. And got introduced to some bad drugs in 1992. And I was still driving a truck. And I was going up through on my way to Chicago one night. And I really thought I was going to die. As a matter of fact, I got in my sleeper to die. My body started getting numb. I don't know how long I'd been up. I got in a position to where I thought this would be okay. If they find me dead here, I'll be okay. And I said, Lord, let me say something right off. I'm not ashamed of my tears. So if I get a little emotional, Y'all just say, help him, Lord. But I was laying there in that sleeper, and my body was completely numb. And I said, Lord, please forgive me. I don't want to die like this, Lord. I really don't want to die like this. But I know I've done wrong, and I know I've not been what you've asked me to be. Please forgive me. And all of a sudden, the feeling started coming back in my left hand. And it was in my right hand, left arm, all the way left side, then went to the right side. I got up out of my sleeper, and what drugs I had left, I threw them out the window. And I said, Lord, I'll live for you. 1993, I started doing everything I can to live for the Lord. And I don't know why. Somebody might have needed to hear that. I don't know why that I shared that with you, but I just felt like that God needed me to. I hope it don't make you think I'm a bad person, because I've been clean since 1993, and I thank the Lord for that. And God, if you've got a loved one or a friend, he can. He can. He can. Don't keep praying, or don't quit praying. Just keep praying, because he can. That wasn't even part of the sermon. That was free. That didn't cost nothing. Okay, brother, God called me into the ministry, and we went to India in 2005. That was our first trip, and I knew something was missing in my life. Maybe some of you here today, something is missing, and so you know how I felt. It was something missing in my life. I was involved in church. I started teaching a Sunday school class. I started being a children's church pastor, you name it, I was doing it, and my wife in church. But there still was something missing. When I went to India and I went into this orphan home, I went with Pastor Doug Ripley and out of Decatur, Alabama. He's the one that built Open Door Baptist Church and led me to the Lord in 1980. But when I saw the orphans, I knew, brother, what God wanted me, what was missing, and it was the mission field. Going to all the world and preach the gospel. And I'm thinking, Lord, I know where you brought me from. I know who I am, and you're asking me to do this? And it just kept getting going on and on. Lord, let me work till I'm 65. Well, I didn't work till I'm 65. I quit. Took early retirement, and I said, like Isaiah, I said, here I am, Lord. Do what you need to do, whatever, and I'll go. Since that time, and we'll see the DVD in just a minute, but since that time, we worked with orphans, and then God showed me how bad it was that they need to hear the gospel. Not only the orphans, but the Muslims and Hindus. And so we just started going and preaching. And the next thing we know, they started drilling water wells. And then we started building churches. And I said, wow, boy, this is good. And God said, now I want you to go to Africa. And some of the people were saying, yeah, you need to stay right in India, you know. Well, hey, if God tells you to go and you don't go, you're out of the will of the Lord. I can't hold that back. I've just got to say that. If God tells you to do something, you don't do it, you're out of the will of the Lord. That's all I can say. So I went to Africa, and then I went to Guatemala, and then I went to Mexico. And I want you to see, now I want you to understand this. This is nothing I've done. It's all what God's done. Go ahead, brother, and get us started. I think we're going to start out in Africa. And if you're going to see, we got introduced to TTI out of Florida. And that's a group of people that they go all over the world, and they train men of God. They train them of how to pastor their church, and then teach. And then they'll train another one, and another one, and another one. Go ahead, brother. And the next picture, I'm pretty sure you're about to see. Yes, this is a group of men. We went to see these. They call them church planters. Now we're not talking about church building. We're talking about church planning. And these guys, before they can get their certificate, they have to have a congregation of 25 members, not family members, and then they go through the training, and we got involved in these. I really was excited. I thought, wow, man, if I can't be in Africa preaching, somebody can. And so we started raising money to support these church planters. Go ahead, brother. And we had about 20, 25. Well, while we started with the church planters, God opened the door for us to be in contact with Dr. Charles Stanley and Living and In Touch Ministries. He put us with a man, Dr. Charles Stanley's international director of missions, and he was an Indian. And we got to know him real well. They come out with what they call a messenger. A messenger is 25, Charles Stanley preaching 25 messages in the New Testament in their language. So we took these guys, go ahead, brother, just let it roll. And we took these guys the messenger. We give them what little Bible knowledge we had. But these 25 men have turned in now to be 240 church planters. And from Benin, Africa, Togo, all the way to the Ivory Coast, that's God. That's God. $300 to train them. You never spend any more money on them. You're done with them. Of course, I'm going back in May to check on them. Let it keep going, brother. But I thank God for that. These are the men that I'm talking about. And it just started growing. We kept telling about them. We kept raising money. God kept making the way. We kept sending TTI more money. And like I said, now we have, just let it go, brother. Now we have 240. These are the men that we're affiliated with in Africa. And the one that's on my left, he's the one that travels all over Africa. That's okay, go ahead. Just let it go. This is a gas station in Africa. The man driving the car gets out and he holds the hose, and the guy stands with a jug. I don't say to keep from getting blowed up. But he stands with a hose, and they got a rag in the funnel, and they filter the gas. There's the gas station sitting right there, right on the side of the road. Them two big jugs of gas. And you can see what I was talking about. The driver holds the hose in the tank. The service station owner pours the gas. And I can't tell what that is. Oh, okay. The lady, my eyes, that's not too good. Let me stand like this. The lady is she's a hair stylist, and she's fixing hair. Let's let it keep going, brother, because I'm going to take up too much time. Carries her baby on her back while she works. This is the way they carry. Go ahead, brother. I think we're getting ready to. This is the messenger that we handed out that I was telling you about that we got from Dr. Charles Stanley. Go ahead. And these people, they absolutely. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Solar Bible or not, but it's solar powered, and these people went crazy over them. Listen, to get to hear Charles Stanley, I don't know how you people feel about it, but to get to hear Charles Stanley preach 35 messages, that's a pretty good deal. I like that. But anyway, go ahead. Now we went to Guatemala. Now this don't look like an orphan, but this kid was put out in the street, and really I got upset. I thought, man, these don't look like orphans to me. They don't want them to look like orphans. They want them to look like regular people. So Charles, one of the guys at Charles Stanley said, David, will you go with us and raise money to feed the people in Guatemala? Somebody, they took up clothes. These are bags of clothes. Go ahead, brother. These are bags of clothes. These are the officers that was with us. I'm sure some of you have been to Guatemala. Everywhere you go in Guatemala, let it keep going. There's going to be some kind of man standing around with a gun. Hold me right there. This is where they get their groceries. This is the city dump. And I knew, let it go on to the next one. I knew why these people asked me to raise money to buy them food. This lady is picking mangoes out of the city dump to feed her family. Go ahead, brother. Yeah, hold me right there. This lady's eating a mango. But I'm going to tell you, if you look to your right, you'll see a guy in a red shirt sitting up there. That's where these man and woman live. They live there. And the reason they live there is so they can get the first truck coming in. They can get the stuff off the truck. Go ahead, brother. She's eating mangoes, and this is the food. This bag of food will last these people a family. Now, God didn't send the money for 250 people. God sent the money for 250 families. Now you recognize her. She lives in the dump. She's got a bag of food. She is so happy. That bag of food will last her 1 month. We'll feed her family. Let it keep going, brother. I think this next picture, just hold me right there. This picture right here, I'm liable to shout over this. The guy was sitting, you can see the buildings in behind him. The guy, this man in the wheelchair, you can't see it, but he's got a tube running out of his stomach. He was a gang member, a member of a gang in Guatemala. This was his buddy, the one in the red shirt. The man with In Touch Ministry said, I said, I want to go down there and witness to him. And they said, oh, no, man, he's a gang member. He just survived a shootout, and he's lucky to be alive. I said, praise the Lord, I really want to go down there and talk to him now. So I went down and talked to this guy, walked up, coldest look I've ever seen on a man's face. And I walked up to him, and I said, hey, man, how you doing? Because the translator was telling him. I said, what's going on with the tube? And he said, I was in a shootout the other night. And he said, looks like you got the worst end of it. And the interpreter, I don't know what he told him. He was afraid to, I'm pretty sure he was afraid to tell him that, but that's just the way I am. And he said, yeah. He said, be honest with you, I feel like I'm lucky. I said, no, you're not lucky. I said, I'm going to tell you what happened to you the other night, brother. I said, you was in a shootout with your gang members. You got the worst end of it, but God gave you a second chance. That's the only reason you ain't dead right now. God gave you a second chance, just like he did me when I was laying up there wanting to die. And I said, listen, make a long story short, I said, listen, do you know anything about the Lord? He said, I've heard of it, don't really believe in it. I said, well, I'm going to tell you something. God didn't send me down here for no reason. I said, God sent me down here. I said, brother, I want you to understand something. They don't pay me to come down here. I don't belong to no group. How we go is what money we raise. And I said, but God sent me down here to tell you this. I said, there's a man called Jesus. He died on the cross for your sins. And he's looking at me like he wished he had a gun. He could shoot me. And I just kept on. And I started going through the scriptures. And I said, brother, I'm not going to waste time on you. I said, I'm going to do what God sent me down here to do. And I said, that was to tell you he gave you a second chance. And they is, and your second chance, you need to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I said, I'm going to start praying. And I said, if God is dealing with you and you know something is going on in your heart, I want you to repeat this prayer. And I said, Lord, I said, I want you to repeat it out loud. I said, Lord, I realize I'm a sinner. Standing there waiting. And all of a sudden, a voice said, Lord, I realize I'm a sinner. And then all of a sudden, another voice said, Lord, I realize I'm a sinner. We went through the sinner's prayer. I gave the man a Bible. And Touch Ministries has it's been a while since I've heard from him, but the guy's still living for the Lord as far as I know. God gave him a second chance. Go ahead, brother. I didn't mean to take so much time, but I'm going to tell you, that guy right there, I hope I get to see him when I go back down there again. I hope he's got a tie on, brother, and a preaching. Hey, we don't never know. Go ahead, brother. I'm going to speed up because Brother Steve said if I wasn't out of here by 12 o'clock, they'd leave the key laying on the altar and for me to lock up. So I'm gonna hurry through this, okay? This is one of the little orphan girls. Go ahead, brother. Keep on going. We're in India. This is some of the churches we built. Go ahead, brother. This is the Bibles. This is a solar Bible. That's not the messenger. We have tucked over hundreds. Let's let it keep going. We've tucked over hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them into Mexico. We even was allowed to go into the Mexican, one of the second largest penitentiaries in Southeast Asia. 1,900 men are in that prison at all times. But I want you to take a look at this right here. How many times here in America have you seen people fighting over a Bible? Wanting to get a Bible. These women were actually fighting, trying to get the Bible out of my hand. Go ahead, brother. We had a little service with them. Let it keep going. The men gave them a Bible, and they done the same thing. But I'm going to tell you something. Hold me right there. That was a miracle of God that they even allowed us to go in that prison. And I've been in there four times, and every time I've been in there, souls have been saved. This is leprosy. People, they don't allow them to stay in town. They bring them in town. And Dr. Kumar, the man in white, wanted to know if I'd preach to him. And if Ken Massey, he went with me. Go ahead, brother. Ken Massey went with me, and he preached to him. He was not afraid. This is Ken Massey. The lady's got leprosy. Listen to me, church. God will protect you. People say, oh, no, I'm not going to touch her. Listen, God wouldn't send me over if he wasn't going to take care of me. But anyway, let it go on, brother. Had many, many, many leprosy people saved. We fed over 150 pastors and got to give them the messenger. If you can speed it up, I'm taking too long. These are some of the pastors, and we got to feed over 150 of them. This is water wells that we drill in India, and this is churches like we build in the back. Now we're in Mexico. This is the first Mexican that I led to the Lord, and we picked him up a hitchhiking, not the man in the center. Now, y'all want life? That's Roscoe. Now, where we go in the mountains, just go ahead and laugh. They decided Roscoe was too little, and they give me a big mule. But anyway, we go way up in the top of the mountains. You can see the trail. That's the only way to get there. And we're just about done. This guy, he carried my Bibles. He carried everything I had on his head. He's got a band around his head, and he's carrying it on his head. Let it keep going. This is my Mexican family. Look at the view in the background. That's the most beautiful place that I've ever seen in my life. And hold me right there. That's the last picture. This is their church. I was sitting there one morning, got up, and if you'll see the little white thing up there, that was their altar. And they'd have church services there three times a week. And I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, and I'm praying, and I'm thinking. And I said, Lord, these people are coming to worship, kneeling down in the mud, praying on a dirt altar. I better not say what I wanted to say right then. But anyway, I said, is there a way, Lord, that we could build them a church? They now have a beautiful church. I mean, one of the prettiest churches I've ever seen. And we're in the process of building another one at the bottom of the mountain. And they called me yesterday. And they said, David, we've got the roof on the church. This is the second church. This church here, it's really beautiful. And they said, we want to, if it's okay with you, can we worship in our church Sunday? Now, it's got a dirt floor in it, but we'll wait till March. But can we worship Sunday? We've got a roof over it. Don't have to worry about the rain. And I said, listen, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, Monday, Tuesday, every night, worship in that church. That's not my church. That's God's church. We'll be going back in March. I'll be leaving Tuesday for India, going back to India. And we'll be leaving March to go dedicate the church. And I want to tell you a quick story, and then I got a quick lesson, and I promise you I'm going to shut up. A quick message. Pastor Holm was with me. He loves to go. He likes that mountain. And Pastor Holm was with me, and this pastor said, will you please build us a church, the one at the bottom of the mountain? The one at the top of the mountain didn't even ask for a church. And Pastor Dean said, "What do you think, David?" I said, "I think we ought to pray about it." I come home in 2 weeks. It cost $6,500 to build that church. And in 2 weeks, I got a letter from this lady that supports a ministry in Africa. And there was an envelope in it. In that envelope had a letter with it. And she said, "David, I don't know why. I normally send this money to Africa, not this much. But," she said, "God really impressed me to send this money to you. And I want it to go to Living Water Ministries and whatever you want to do with it." And it was a check for $6,000. That's God, church. That's God. And I told her, I said, "You've just built a church in Mexico." That's how God does it. It's not me. It's not about me. But I got a message that I take, and I'm going to hurry through this. I got a message that I take to India. And if you want to follow along with me, it's in the 16th chapter of John. And I use this. I like this first verse. I'm in the wrong chapter. In the 16th chapter of John, it starts talking on verse 20. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful. But your sorrow shall be turned into joy." Verse 21. "A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she delivers of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for joy is in it. Man is born into the world. And ye..." My glass is fogging up on me. "And ye there now for have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man can take it away." Go back to verse number number one. "These things I have spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogue, yea. And the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God a service." Does that sound familiar? Does that sound familiar? What I want to talk to you this morning, just a few minutes about, is joy in the Lord. Verse 21, "No man taketh from you your joy. No man taketh from you." I was in a situation here not long ago, and I got all upset. I was mad. Preachers do get mad. And I was in my garage, and man, I was having a fit over a situation that had happened. And I was slinging my toes, and I'm thinking, man, this ain't right. This is not what God meant for me to do. So I go upstairs, and I listen to my solar Bible. I listen to my solar Bible all the time. And I just turned my solar Bible on, and I started listening. I want to be honest with you. I was ashamed of the way I was acting. I know none of you have ever done that. But I was ashamed of the way I was acting. And I said, Lord, this is not what you meant for me to live. How can I be a light for you when I'm full of anger? And this verse 22, "No man. And your joy, no man taketh from you." I want to tell you something, church. I don't know what you're going through with today. I don't know where it's sickness, where it's marital problem, whatever the problem is, they steal joy in the Lord. If you allow the Satan to take your joy away from you, God's not going to take it away from you. You're going to take it away from yourself. Brother Steve can't take my joy away from me. I allow him to. Whatever's going on in your life today. And when I got to that verse, boy, I just throwed my hands up in the air. I said, "Hallelujah. Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I don't want to lose my joy. And it was another man that had really upset me. I said, I've allowed this man to take my joy. I've allowed him to take my joy. Go over to verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation. Listen to this. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. When we overcome the world, church, and we're going to have to because it's coming. I'm telling you. When I started out, they're going to take our synagogues away from us. Or try to. They're going to try to get us not to kneel down and worship that cross. They're going to try to get us not to worship or a salute to the flag. They're going to try to say that our God is not real. It's coming. It's coming. Preachers preach on it all the time, brother. Pastor Steve knows that. There's something in the air. And what I'm here today is to tell you, don't let nobody take your joy. Stay in tune with the Lord. Don't let anybody take your joy. And if you do, do like I done. Just get on your knees and say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for allowing somebody, because I was not in tune with the Lord. And I was allowing a man to take my joy. But you know who got victory? I got the victory because I got on my knees. The God gave me the scripture. This man can't take your joy from you, brother. He can't take it away from you. And I just went to praising the Lord. This old boy is still mad. He can't figure out what in the world's happened to David's step. He was so mad a few minutes ago, he throwed his jack all the way across the garage. Now he's out here praising the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, I want to stay in tune with the Lord, don't you? Don't you want to stay and receive that joy? Now, I know some of you are going through some hard times. And I'm going to stand here, and I'm just going to be as honest as I can with you, and I'm shutting up because I'm thinking it's 12. I don't see the key yet. But I'm not going to stand here in front of you and tell you when I went to my son's funeral, I wasn't standing there saying, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Why not? Why not? If we stay in tune with the Lord, there's nothing can stop us. Nothing can bother you. Stay tuned. Stay in tune with the Lord. This is a good church crowd. Stay in tune with the Lord. You can make a difference in this whole community. Don't let man deceive you like I have. But I thank God he showed me the scripture. And there's only one way to get that joy, and that's to come. Say, Lord, I want that joy. I don't want to lose my joy. I want to stay in tune with you, Lord. And if my house falls down, I'll just look up to the sky and say, thank you, Lord, I'm coming. I love you guys. I love you. I've got pencils, and I've got a prayer card in the back, and this is the part I don't like, but I can't do what I do without your prayers and your support. I don't beg for money. I do not beg for money. If God's in it, it'll happen. But please, let's leave here today with joy. I love to hear them little kids sing joy, joy, joy down in my heart. God bless you. We love you.